This podcast is part of a series of public talks given by Swami Mukti Bodhananda during her visit to Vancouver, Canada in 2016. Swami Mukti Bodhananda, a direct disciple of Paramhansa Swami Satyananda Sarasvati, is a Yogacharya, living master of yoga. Her passion and work is facilitating people worldwide in the process of yoga. For more information, you can visit her website at muktibodharetreatscanada.com.
I'm going to change the wording, what allows your heart to sing. And this is of our choosing. We allow our heart to sing in certain conditions and to turn off in other conditions. So how do we manage this? Yeah. And literally singing is a very good way. So the tradition in India is to sing names of the divine. Divine that manifests through us in different ways. And these Sanskrit words are important because they actually resonate the body, the brain, and the mind in a very specific way. So this kirtan song is call and response. It's in Sanskrit. It's very simple. And the words, they're mantras. They're sound vibrations for focusing the mind. It's a means of focusing, channeling, and directing the mind's energy. So the mantra that we start off is about overcoming difficulties. The word Durga means difficulty, and Durga means without difficulty. So the words Durga, and we're saying victory to overcoming difficulties. And so hopefully when we sing these words, then we can find new ways to face and to manage our mind and emotions in life. And while you live here on this magnificent island, and when I land here, I think, who could have a care in the world living here? But I'm sure if I started living here and talking with you, you would be able to tell me the difficulties that you face, either in your life or with other people. And sometimes the difficulties with ourselves. Quite often it's with other people, but ultimately it's with ourselves. So if we can sing our way through our challenges, this can be of benefit. My mother is a retired registered nurse, but in her nursing day she did geriatric nursing. It was very challenging in Australia. We are understaffed in the hospitals. And so you do what you can as a nurse. And in order to cope with the stress of her situation, she would sing in the hospital. Anything that came to mind. And she would even do a little pirouette here and there to lighten her load and to enable other people to feel lighter in their situations. Yeah. So if we can think of singing in our difficulties, what actually happens physiologically is that it activates the vagus nerve, which is part of your parasympathetic nervous system, which relaxes us. Yeah. Especially if it's a song that you like. And I don't know if you'll like this song, but anyway, give it a go. It is call and response, so I'll sing it once and then you'll follow. Jaya Jaya Ma, Jaya Durga Ma. Jaya Jaya Ma, Jaya Durga Ma. Jaya Jaya Ma Jaya Durga Ma 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 Jaya Durga Ma Jaya Durga Ma Close your eyes. Allowing the sounds of the mantras to settle. Sometimes in life we don't think about what our intention is. We just go about the daily routine. Nonetheless, we do have an intention. When we wake up in the morning, sometimes it's to get to the bathroom as quickly as possible. And so, coming to live here on Gabriola, you would have had an intention, a way of life, a lifestyle. And hopefully you are living that. But there are other intentions in life, and there are other ways of opening ourselves to our, what I call, authentic self, our inner self, which is our connection with nature. Some people like to think of this as God, the connection with God. I call it divinity. For me, it's about feeling into myself that where I am is where I want to be and where I am meant to be. And then it feels open and spacious within myself. And when I'm not where I need to be, I get this tight feeling. I think we all know that tight feeling. Maybe you're speaking with somebody in close proximity or on the phone, and you're thinking, I've really got to be somewhere else. And the other person's talking and talking. And you keep thinking, I really need to be somewhere else. And that feeling inside goes tighter and tighter. Does everyone know that feeling? And you don't want to be rude to the other person, but you don't know how to say, I really need to go, because you don't want to offend them. And this is what I mean about that tightness inside. And sometimes we do things in life because we feel that we're meant to be doing this. Either it's because of family pressure, or society pressure, or an inner personal pressure. We pressure ourselves into believing this. So I give an example. My grandmother just passed away recently at 102. And so for a period of time, my mother was living with her. She was very independent, but just in case she needed some assistance, my mother was there. And if my mother went away and wanted to put the rubbish bin out the day before the garbage collection came, my grandmother would say, oh, Virginia, what will the neighbours think? I think we all know that one too. What will the neighbours say? What will our children say? What will our parents say? Or what will our group, our community say? Yeah. So we all need to manage these thoughts and emotions, because it's both thoughts and emotions. And so the rubbish bin still went out the day before, by the way. And the neighbours didn't mind. How to allow your heart to sing when you feel under pressure that you should be doing something and you want to do something else. There was a story that Padma was telling me as we were coming on the ferry about Buddha giving an instruction to three disciples to rob a bank. Maybe this happened, or maybe someone's making up a story, but this is the way it goes. And so two of the disciples ran off, robbed the bank. They didn't get caught. And then the third disciple was thinking, this doesn't feel good. Maybe Buddha is testing me, testing my mettle to see what I'm made of. And he didn't rob the bank. And so the other disciples who robbed the bank brought their booty home. And Buddha said, now you go and hand yourselves in. Yeah. And so this is what happens in life. Sometimes we just, under pressure of what we think we should be doing, we go off and do it. And then there are repercussions afterwards. So we haven't listened to ourselves. You know that feeling where intuitively you have known to do something, but you haven't listened to it, you've refused to listen to it, and you've done something exactly the opposite, and it was completely wrong. Maybe you're thinking of something, some instance right now, or you just remember what that felt like. And so allowing your heart to sing means listening to your inner intuition. So in yoga and tantra, we describe three different places and spaces where we experience this knowledge. And the most common one is what we call gut instinct. And we feel it in the abdominal area. It's visceral. The feeling is visceral. It's a bit like when you get butterflies in your stomach. If you think of doing something that you don't normally do and you feel a little bit of anxiety about it, you get butterflies in the stomach. It's that type of intuitive knowledge. It's visceral. I call it instinctive. It's to do with the body. So one time I was trekking in Nepal in the Chitwan Park. Has anyone been to the Chitwan Park? We went to Tiger Tops. No? So it'd be like walking in the forest here. You have bears and cougars, not on Gabriola. But in Chitwan Park there were leopards, very few tigers. There were rhinos. But at certain times of day you can walk without being a meal. And that's after 11 a.m. and before 3 p.m. Any other times, then you're the food on the supermarket shelf. So as we're walking through the jungle, I felt like something was watching me. And it was in my body. The feeling of being watched was in my body. Has anyone been walking here in your forests and felt like you were being watched? Not necessarily on Gabriola, but Gabriola in another part. So you know that feeling? Yeah. And my mum kept wanting to stop and take photos. I'm going, will you please just walk? I am not comfortable. Anyway, in the afternoon, we had settled in the camp, and in the afternoon we were walking to the trekker. Trekker is a jeep. And we were walking along a dirt road, and from the distance from me to you, there was a leopard just walking along the path. Just as if we didn't exist. And I thought, whoa, if I'd been a hunter with a gun, so easy, fair game. Yeah. But I think I was being watched. When I saw the leopard, I think I was being watched in that jungle. And so that was a visceral feeling. The other type of intuitive information is in what we call yoga, the heart space. It's felt here. And the feeling is very different to the visceral feeling. For me, it's very light feeling. When something's good and I use the word auspicious, it's like there are these dove wings moving. Such a beautiful feeling. And I know then this is right for me, whatever I'm thinking or doing or about to do, embarking on. But everyone has different feeling. I'm only describing how it feels to me. And I call that allowing the heart to sing. Because inwardly it's like there is a sound, but it's a silent sound. It's the sound of the wings, if you can imagine what that could possibly be. The third space where we receive knowledge is behind the forehead. We call it the space of the consciousness, your individual consciousness. And I specify that because there's collective consciousness, where all our consciousnesses join and unite. But this is individual, where you can see, if you're visual, you actually see, you get ideas in the form of like when you remember a dream, it's visual. Not everyone is visual, but some people are very visual. It might be shape, image, colour, and alongside of that is an idea or a thought. So it's a very different experience. Or it just might be an inner knowing. Maybe you're at home and the phone rings and you pick it up and you had an idea of who it was and you say, I knew it was you. Has that happened to you? Yeah, some people not. Or maybe you're sitting in the car travelling and the person next to you is saying something that you were just thinking about. Has that happened? Something about being in a car. I don't know what it is. Maybe the thoughts bounce off the car and come back at you. There's something about being in a car and it's like you're thinking something, the other person says it, and then you think to yourself, I better be careful what I think here. So that type of intuition is easier to understand because it's visual as well as being in the form of an idea. But the heart singing is really important too. If you can have all three experiences at once or both experiences at once, then you really know that what you're about to embark on is right. Sometimes we're scared. There's fear there because we might be stepping into the unknown. I mean, I went to India when I was 17 by a week and I knew nothing about India. All I knew that somebody had told me, oh, you see that weed on the ground? They really love eating that in India. Someone trying to terrorize me, I think. So I knew nothing. I just knew within me that I needed to do that for me and that if I waited to do this, it would be more difficult, more challenging when I was older. So I listened to that. I embarked on that. And it's been the right path for me. It wouldn't have been right for somebody else because they're a different person. And so sometimes we doubt ourselves with what we're doing. So I say, feel inside your heart of hearts. Is it ringing true? And sometimes we still don't know. So we need quiet space to find out. We need to just, even for a day maybe, isolate ourselves if we're pondering over something that is a big change for us, or it means it will be a big change. Maybe we need some time just by ourselves to weigh up whether this is going to be suitable or not. We might do it intellectually. It's important to weigh things up intellectually. I'm not negating that. You need to look at your bank balance to see if what you're going to do is feasible. But aside from that aspect of life, have some quiet time and just feel into your heart of hearts. Some people put the question to themselves when they go to bed and they wake up in the morning with the answer. It mightn't be the next morning. It might be a year later. But you wake up with the answer. Has that happened? Where you've been questioning something and you're not sure. And you might speak with other people about it and you're bouncing an idea around. And then you get the answer. And when you get the answer, it might be easy to do or it might be very challenging to do because it means a big change. So in that situation, we may not step into it due to fear. So we hold ourselves back. And then we keep thinking, I should, but I can't. So you just need to wait till you're ready to step into that. The time's right when you're ready to step into it. It's like anything. When, for example, we have addictions, we can't give them up until we're ready to do that. The time has to be ripe. And it's the same thing. We can't move into being who we innately want to be until we're ready to step into that. Yeah. So many transitions in life. And it's the same with somebody who's passing away. I don't know if you've been next to somebody. This is a delicate subject, I understand. But the person doesn't pass until the time's right. It's a generalization, and sometimes my kids tell me off about generalizations. But in that process, there's a hanging on, there's a clinging to life. We all do it. The body does it, even if emotionally we don't do it. And then there's a surrender. And it's actually no different to what I'm talking about. It can be difficult to move into that aspect of your life that you want to and you're fearing, but there comes a moment of surrender when you know it's right. And that is the right moment. Yeah. And so life is full of these experiences, on a smaller scale, on a larger scale. But if we're resisting it, if we're resisting the change of stepping into what it is that we need to step into, if we're resisting that, then it's not very pleasant. It can be unpleasant for people around. It can be unpleasant for you. So I'm talking very generally. And there are so many different situations in life. Because what happens when we're stressed, we stop breathing or we breathe very shallowly up here. So you're obviously very, very relaxed. Because you're not breathing up here. It's a good sign. So when we're making decisions in life, and it's a challenging decision, we actually start to hold our breath and we chest breathe a lot. Yeah, you might observe this later on when you're feeling stressed on Gabriola. Yeah. But, I mean, we face these things logically, don't we? We think about, well, if there's no water, the worst thing that can happen is have to leave. They would ship it in first, wouldn't they? Yeah, it happened when I was in Sri Lanka 5 times. Now, Sri Lanka is on the equator, and wherever you dig, there's water because there's an underlying table of water. But 5 times in the last 20-odd years, they've been in drought on the equator. That's stressful, yeah, because it's the whole of Sri Lanka. It's not just, one island. So the stresses of security. Then there are the stresses of the body, not managing the body. Body matures, or you've had an accident and there's an injury in the body. So these are the physical stresses. And then there are the relationship stresses. So then we think logically of how we're going to manage these situations. And with that sort of stress, everything tightens up. All those spaces tighten up. And so being able to be honest with ourselves, how am I going to deal with this in a way that is non-confrontational, but I get my point across? And then when we do this, the spaces open again. But if we're living in constant tension and those spaces are closed, it actually affects our health. It affects those areas of the body. It affects our breathing. And so how do we deal with these things is very challenging. It's the challenge of the human being. Yeah. And there's no simple answer other than being honest with yourself. You need to be honest with yourself. And what does that mean? It means I can't tolerate this. I need to voice. I need to express. This isn't working. How am I going to do this in a way, as I said before, that's not confrontational? Some people don't mind confrontation. But in order to have smooth communication, if we're non-confrontational, it's more likely that the other person will listen. Not always. So dealing with these situations means listening to the other person. What are they really saying? Sometimes we don't even listen. We think we know everything about it. So what are they actually saying? And then negotiating. How is this going to work for both of you? So what this also means is that when we're totally engrossed in what we're experiencing, if we're feeling annoyed because the dogs are barking and we just think, I'm annoyed, stop those dogs barking. We're totally in that experience. In yoga, we learn, and in meditation, we learn to step back from that. Yes, part of the mind is annoyed, but another part of the mind is quiet and able to think about how to deal with this gradually in a way that's confrontational. Yeah. So being honest with yourself, knowing your nature, maybe you're fiery and you know that you're going to blow up if you go and speak with the person. So maybe you say to your other neighbour, I'm going to explode. You approach them because you're calmer. Yeah, so stepping back from yourself, know your nature, know your tendencies, know your needs. Do you know what I mean by needs? Basic needs. So you were talking to me about water. That's safety and security. This is a basic need. Basic need is to enjoy, to have fun and play and enjoy. This is very important in life. Adults sometimes get too serious. They say that children laugh 400 times a day. I don't know if it's true or not. So I was thinking, how do I get my 400 laughs in? Those who've been to my programs know. I thought, well, when I do breathing techniques, pranayama, and I breathe in quickly and exhale quickly, I know that I can do a certain number of breaths in 5 minutes. So if I combine that with laughing, then I should be able to get in 400 laughs within 10 minutes. I don't know how fast life is here on Gabriola because I haven't lived here, but you know what it's like in the cities. So many things to do, and I thought, yeah, I can spare 10 minutes. So the breathing goes like this. You inhale quickly through your nose, and because the brain actually does not know the difference between really laughing and contrived laughing, it's going to have the same effect. So it goes like this. I use my mala. Try it. Now imagine the dogs barking. You walk around the house, the dog's barking. You get to a stage where it's starting to actually feel you've really worked your belly, isn't it? Yeah. And now the dog barking, it's not such a big thing. Yeah. So when we have stresses in life, we can walk around our house. What are the kids and neighbours going to say? Oh, Virginia, what will the neighbours say? Doesn't matter, does it? Now we'll know on Gabriola when we hear everyone walking down the street. They're de-stressing. How are you? Yeah, great day. And so what happens is that it frees this area up. You feel lighter and more easy. Yeah. And then you're more able to feel into those areas. Close your eyes once again. Feel your breath, your natural breath. And take your awareness down low into the abdominal area. In yoga, we call this area the Hara Akasha, the abdominal space. Feeling into this area, it is the instinctive area. Gut instinct, from the navel down. Then take your awareness up a little bit higher into the area of the chest, in the sternum chest region. We describe this area as the heart space, Hridaya Akasha. It's like a cave with a ceiling. Feeling into this cave. Being aware if it feels spacious or if it feels contracted. And then take the awareness up higher, being aware that as you have your eyelids closed, you are seeing, looking into the back of the eyelids. The space of the consciousness is a little bit higher, it's behind the forehead. See if you can take your awareness up to Chid-Akasha. Behind the forehead, thinking of the forehead being like the screen of a movie theatre, and you're looking into this screen. Sometimes you may see imagery, in this space, intuitive ideas arise as a thought, an idea, or an image, or both. It can come in a flash and leave instantly, or it can stay there for some time. Chid-Akasha. Be aware of where you perceive your intuitive information. It may be in all spaces, it may be in two predominantly or one predominantly. Your inner knowing, your intuitive knowing is your inner knowing. And then come back to the feeling of the spontaneous breathing once again. And then opening the eyes. So I was talking about basic needs. Survival, safety, we understand. Having fun's important. And being in our own power. So when we try to control other people, it's really hard to feel your inner knowledge, to feel your spaces, because the mind is so externalized in trying to make other people do what we want them to do. So we lose track of our own inner feeling. In yoga and in meditation, the aim is to be self-controlling. And sometimes we're actually not aware that we're trying to control other people because we don't see ourselves. It might be in small ways. We try emotionally to control people by saying something in a certain way. I know when I was a teenager and I was about to learn to drive a car, and I thought, I'll tell my parents that I'm going to ride a motorbike and then they won't want that, so they'll buy me a car. You know those type of thoughts? Yeah. That's what I mean. So when we behave in this way, when we think in this way, it's very hard to listen to ourselves and come in close to our authentic self. And so I keep coming back to being honest with ourselves. If we're feeling that we don't want to do something for a particular reason, but we go along with the other person, and we don't enjoy it, So two of our needs are already not met, but we've gone along for the sake of the other person. I always think I don't have this many years that I've already lived ahead of me. And so better that I speak up and I'll say, I love you dearly, but I can't do that now. Or another time maybe, but not just now. Doesn't suit. Finding our words, how to speak up honestly, because most of us don't want to hurt the other person. Sometimes it might happen out of anger. But before we get angry, it's better to speak up. Find your words. Find how you're going to say it. And then you're not going to feel contracted in here. Because this life is about you. My life's about me. Your life is about you. And yes, we negotiate. We get on together by negotiating. Listen to what the other person is saying. And it's okay to live your life. Even when we're husband and wife, when we're partners, whatever you want to call being a couple these days. I don't know what's politically correct anymore. But when you're with another person, you want them to be happy. But what about you? You need to be happy too. So listening, negotiating, being honest. And if you feel offended, then say, oh, I feel offended, but I'm choosing to feel offended. We choose this. My son, who was 8 at the time, said one day, oh, there's good things that happen in life and then there's the bad. And I said, yeah, that's one perception. If you want to believe that, if you want to think like that, that's the way it is. But you could choose to think otherwise. Maybe what's bad is a challenge in some way or the other. Or maybe we need to then say, I'm not coping, I need help. I'm not talking about the things that happen in life that, you know, I'm not talking about wars and things. I'm just talking in general, good things and bad things for kids, you know. Their friend doesn't come over to play and they want them to, good things and bad things. So things happen to us in life, good things and bad things. I saw a placard in a shop that said, whether my glass is half empty or half full, I still have room for more wine. Wine, not Whine. More wine. And I thought, oh, that's great. Yeah, whether it's half empty or half full, I still have room for more joy, for more love, for more enjoyment. Yeah. And that's my choice to believe that. So it's important to realize we're choosing to cave into a default position of the mind. And so there are things that happen in life and we need to allow ourselves time to grieve and realize this is the mind's process without becoming the grief. So we're choosing to acknowledge that this is what the mind does in this situation. Even the mind gets angry. It's called for in some circumstances. It's what the mind does. Give it time to adjust. Mind gets angry when things happen that we don't want to happen. Again, my young son said to me one day, I don't know what I want to do in life. Whatever I do, I'm good at. I can do anything, he said. I said, ah, but are you in charge of your mind? Said, when you are in charge of your mind, then you'll be good at everything. Yeah. And so, how can anyone be totally in charge of their mind? I mean, mind is an energy and things happen where we have an idea about how we want our life to be or how we want another person to be, and then it doesn't work out that way. So we become sad, we become angry, we become all sorts of emotions, depressed. That's what the mind does. So we need to allow it time to do that and then say, okay, that's enough. I'm in charge here. Let's do some of that breathing. It does work, you know. Yeah, it's a very useful form of breathing. They say that when you laugh, it actually boosts the T cells. It boosts your immunity. Has anyone else heard that? Yeah. So do we laugh more? No. You've got to put those funny movies on. The movies that allow you to laugh. Yeah. There's so many movies out there that can be depressing and violent and all this sort of thing. And there's so many funny movies too. You might have a favourite movie. You watch it once a year because you laugh and laugh and laugh. You might have watched it 20 times. I've got a couple of movies like that. Have you got a couple of movies like that? Yeah, so maybe we can exchange movie ideas so that we've got several movies throughout the year to lift our spirits and take the seriousness out of life. Yeah, and so I've been talking about being in your own power and understanding that this is a driving force just as much as security is, safety, security, fun, play. We actually learn through having fun and playing. People say no pain, no gain. Well, actually, we learn better when we're having fun. Yeah, and the information, it sticks just as well. And being in charge of yourself, being in charge of your emotions, realizing that you're choosing to feel whatever it is you're feeling. It might be conditioning. It might be a learnt pattern. But you're actually choosing that. And you could choose to do something else if you had the tool to do it. Now you've got that laughing breath tool or watching a funny movie tool or just saying, I don't want to feel like this. I'm going for a walk. I'm going to breathe the air. And I'm going to walk down a street where the dogs don't bark. Yeah, so taking charge of yourself. And the other need is to feel loved, to give love and a sense of belonging. If we can't experience that, that heart space area closes off. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And nobody wants to feel cut off. We might cut people off from us for various reasons. And they can be very legitimate reasons. But just realize that no one wants to be cut off. And, you know, in yoga we talk about the body as not just physical, there's energy in the body. So the nervous impulses going through the nervous system are electrical by nature. That's one form of energy. And if you extend your palms forward, bring your hands close to your face, so not touching the skin. Can you feel that heat from the palms? Can everyone feel that? Yeah. So that's energy. Where there's heat, there's energy, there's vibration, there's actually sound, and there's light. And we all emanate this. And when we are in negative states of mind, we restrict that energy flow. And if not, we're not feeling loving, then the other person notices. The other person feels cut off. And there are situations in life where this is called for and appropriate, I understand. But just bear that in mind when you're having negative thoughts about a person, that ripples through the environment. Boy, I'd hate to be a politician. I hope there's no politicians here. Any politicians here? Yeah. I mean, we all have thoughts about this politician and that politician. It's a wonder they don't look more beat up than they look. So, if we're to feel this heart space singing, then we need to change our thought processes. Yeah, and this can be challenging when people do things that we don't agree with, we don't like, they're hurtful. How do we turn that around? Very difficult. There is a system in yoga, and some people in counselling use this too, where it's called thinking the opposite. Now, that's not so easy. If you don't like what someone's doing, if they've been hurtful to you, you can't just automatically feel love for them. But you could feel it for somebody else. You could feel it for your pet. You could feel it for the deers that I see, or the nature. So the minute you start having a negative thought, you immediately superimpose that with a pleasant memory. This is how we change the mindset. So if you're going through difficult times and you know that there is a tendency to think negatively, have your positive, happy memory there to superimpose. Not about that person, about something else completely different. So that the neural pathways that have been built up can be changed and you build up a different neural pathway. This is very important. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean by that? Yeah, this is a yoga tool. I call it snacking on yoga. Last week I've been talking about snacking on yoga. So we snack on yoga by breathing. We snack on yoga by doing the laughing breath. We snack on yoga by changing the mindset deliberately. If we want to feel negative thoughts, and I say feel them because we do feel them, then go ahead and do it. That's fine. But if you want to change that patterning, you superimpose something light and simple, nothing major. Yeah. So in this way, we find that we develop our personal self-expression. And I'm pointing to the throat because this is actually where the energy center is at the throat, the center of self-expression, and we do this verbally. We do it in many other ways. If you're an artist or a musician or a gardener or a mother or a father or a partner, we are expressive beings. So expressing ourselves authentically. Not saying the things that we were conditioned to say by family or by society, but being who we really are. And who are we? We are light and love beings. We are beings of light and love. When we express all these needs, when we're able to see that we've been holding back and then work out ways to express all these needs, the final need of the human is self-autonomy, freedom to be yourself. Yeah. And only you know what that means to you. I know what it means to me. Only you know what that means to you. My name is Mukti. Mukti means freedom. It is one of my most important needs. Yeah, to be who I am innately. And I could have done so many things in my life, but it didn't resonate in here. And I chose to listen to that, and I'm still doing it. Now, I said the last need of a human is self-autonomy. The divine within us wants connection. In yoga, we talk about a chakra system, an energy system, and the crown chakra. It's right at the point where a baby's fontanelle joins. There's the bones that are separated when a baby's born, and gradually it closes over. So this is the area that we talk about in yoga where the light and love of the divine pours in through the brain, through the body. And this is our connection to divinity. I'm pointing out there, but it's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah. And so some people feel that need stronger than others. Yeah. But at some point in life, it needs to be expressed. And if we can express all these needs, then we will be able to feel those spaces and our heart will sing. We allow it to sing or we close it off. Yeah. It's our choice. Sometimes it can be hard to acknowledge because we resist taking responsibility for various reasons and we say, I had no choice. There's always two choices. We may not like either of them. Some of you have heard me say this day after day. Yeah. It's like when we were little kids and our parents put the food on the table and we didn't like either of those vegetables. But we knew we had to eat. We wanted to live and survive. So we made the choice to eat, or we made the choice not to eat. And then there were consequences. There's always a choice. And listening to what it is that you want to do for you innately. There was a movie in 2002, I think. It was a Will Smith movie. It wasn't a Men in Black movie, so it didn't do well at the box office. It was called Bhagavans. Has anyone heard of it? Bhagavans. Yeah, it was based on the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is like the Hindu Bible. And so in the movie Bhagavans, the golfer, whose name was Juna, lost his original swing. He was seeking his original swing. And Will Smith played the part of, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's Lord Krishna. And so he played that role in the movie. And eventually, Juna found his original swing again. And there was a love scene to keep people captivated in the movie. Yeah. So we all do that. At a certain phase in our life, we lose our original swing. But life is really this hero's journey. We start at a certain point of unknowing, and we're seeking out. And we go through this whole journey and learn so many things. And we come back, not necessarily to the starting point. For me, it's more like a spiral. And we come back to a point where we realize, yes, I've done a full circle here, but hey, there's something more. And off we go again. Yeah, the hero's journey. Or you can call it finding your authentic self. And when you're consciously doing that, doing the things to enable your heart to sing, you get glimpses. You get glimpses along the way. I hope everyone here has had glimpses, or maybe you've had a total glimpse and you're feeling totally fulfilled And that's wonderful. Please share that. Please share that with others. And so when the pictures in our inner world match the external world, there's this resonation. It's a vibration. And there's this feeling of singing. Yeah. Amazing. I know. First time I came on the ferry and I filmed it, it was stunning. I thought I'd seen good sunsets in India, but I think that sunset coming across on the ferry took the cake. Amazing. Yeah. What enables your heart to sing, what you allow your heart to sing to. And I'm thinking, living here on Gabriola, what am I going to talk about? It's your heart sings here. It's amazing. This is the thing. Problem is, you don't always listen to it sing. And how does that happen? You get distracted by the mind, do you think? By the other thoughts. And this is what I was saying about getting engrossed in the mind and believing that you are what the mind is thinking. But just think of the mind as the weather. It changes. So today, I'll use the word my son uses, droopy. Today the mind is a bit droopy. And then the next day it's more happy again. But it's what the mind does. It moves. It changes. It's an energy and it changes. And we are something other than the mind. And this is the challenge that we face as humans, to realize this and to do the things that we know enable our heart to sing, irrespective of what the mind is doing. Yeah, this is a challenge. For some people, the heart is singing louder, so the challenge isn't there. But for other people, yes, this is a big hurdle in life. And so what I've noticed is that doing the yoga breathing is so important, because I'm often talking about the brain and the brain stem. If you feel where your spine goes up through your neck and then the skull covers it over, you can't feel any further. So inside is the brain stem, and we call it the reptilian part of the brain. It's to do with fight, flight, freeze, feelings of safety. So if you're not feeling safe, then you either go into fight or flight, or you might even freeze. And so the basic instincts are here in that part of the brain. It goes down the spine through the nervous system. Then the rest of the brain's wrapped around that. So you've got the mammalian brain, which is emotional. Then you've got the neocortex. So that's my brain and that's my spine walking around on the earth plane. So we're all doing that with our desires and trying to fulfill this and that in our bodies. Yeah, that's an interesting image, isn't it? And so, you know, where we feel this disconnection, it's because there's too much happening in that brainstem. And if we control our breathing, it actually starts to connect the whole of the brain together. Because breathing is the one process we can control. Yeah, we can't stop ourselves feeling shock. We can only deal with the repercussions of it. And we do that through our breathing. This is why I said, where are you breathing? So we learn the slow yogic breath. And the same thing, well, there are fast breathings too, but just in day-to-day living, if we can slow the breath down. And then we do singing to connect the brain, because it's all about controlling the breath. Again, you're still working the vagus nerve here with slow breathing, with singing. So we're connecting the whole brain. And when we connect our whole brain, then we are whole. And so it doesn't matter at what stage our body is at, whether it's young and flexible or whether it's maturing. My grandma at 102, she used to do yoga in the chair. Yeah. She started yoga when I went to India. We'd been doing yoga since 1972. So grandma started it earlier in her 50s. But even at 102, she was still doing yoga in the chair. Yeah. And singing too. She liked to sing. And whistle. And so when we do some of these yoga practices, there are mudras too, hand positions that can be of benefit. So Ganapati is, keeping it brief, Ganapati is the foundation of everything in life. We always need a strong foundation. So it assists us in finding that foundation. And in my experience, the foundation is being honest with yourself to know your intentions. And that's how we started this evening. We thought about our intention for why we were here.
Ganapati Om Jaya.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Swami Muktibodhananda, visit muktibodharetreatscanada.com. Mukti, M-U-K-T-I, Bodha, B-O-D-H-A, Retreats Canada, all one word, .com.